How about you go ahead and join me in Luke chapter 24, if you have a Bible. If you don't, we'll provide the scripture on the screen. And Luke was a physician, a Greek physician, and he was a follower of Jesus, a contemporary of Paul, one of Jesus's main guys. As a matter of fact, Paul was the primary tool that Christ used to spread the good news or the gospel to the world outside of Jerusalem. And so Luke was a friend of Paul, and he was also a follower of Christ. And man, I'm excited. So let's pick it up from Good Friday, right? We taught on Good Friday about the crucifixion of Christ, the death of Jesus, and the three things that the death of Christ offers to us today. And so that Friday evening, a man by the name of Joseph from the town of Arimathea, the Bible says he was a wealthy man, removed the body of Christ from the cross, and he placed him in a brand new grave. And so we call Saturday Silent Saturday, because in Jerusalem around this time, it was Sabbath. So it was against Jewish law to do any work. So the women went home and they prepared their spices to anoint the body of Christ. And the Bible says early Sunday morning, they went to the tomb. And so that's where we're going to pick it up today. Luke 24. Someone say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 says this. But very early on Sunday morning, so somewhere between 5 a.m. and 5:30 or so, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Now, this is very interesting because this stone was about 3 tons, and it would have taken anywhere between 4 and 5 very strong men to roll this stone over the opening of the tomb. And so this stone, the stone itself was also a signet or confirmation that the body inside of the tomb was in fact dead. So a doctor had checked all the vitals, checked for a pulse, checked to see if Christ was breathing. Once you roll the stone over it, that body is dead. But when the women went to the tomb that morning, the Bible says that the stone had been rolled away. Yeah. And so it says this here. So they went in and they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. And I know we all look good today. But man, I always ask myself, what brand is that? Right. Dazzling robes. That's amazing. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, I love this. Let's lean into this. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Can we take a moment to celebrate Christ one more time for the resurrection? And man, that's powerful. There's so much in those 7 verses. I don't have time to unpack it. Man, there's just a lot there. But, you know, we all love a good old happy ending. We love a good happy ending. And, you know, typically in a real good movie, you have the intro, you have the beginning of the movie, and you have this this rising of the plot. So it's good things going on. And then eventually there's a tension or a rub within the plot or the story. And this is what makes movies and books good. There's tension, there's problems to be solved. And by the time you get to the end of the movie or the end of the book, it's a happy ending. We've won the war. We've won the battle. They've fallen in love. The baby was born. It's a happy ending. And I was thinking in preparation of this message about movies like Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast is a happy ending. It's rough all the way through, but it's a happy ending. I was also thinking about this classic for a lot of, this is a classic for the ladies. The Notebook. The Notebook. Brandon, I said for the ladies. Maybe it was a classic for you too. But don't be ashamed, because I say this shamelessly. Back in my college days, I fell in love with this movie, and they were back and forth from California to the UK, and The Holiday. The Holiday. Okay. Yeah. That's a happy ending. They fell in love. And so we always hope for the story or the movie to end happily. But weirdly enough, I have top two movies. You're a pastor, so you got to put the Passion of the Christ in there just because you're a pastor. It has to be in your top three somewhere. All right. But my other two. All right. So my other two is Dark Knight. You know, Christian Bale was the man. Yeah, Batman. But I have this weird affinity for villains. So Bane, I was born in the dark. You know what I mean? He took Batman and broke his back, and I'm like, yeah, Bane. Why am I rooting for Bane? This is awesome, Bane. And then so it's Dark Knight, and then the other one. I don't know if you went to the movies to see this, but The Avengers. Not Endgame, Infinity War, right? So Thanos is getting all the stones. And at the end, Thor throws his hammer. And we're like, you know, everyone's like, yeah. And he hit Thanos in the chest. And then Thor flew down on him. I wish I could fly. He flew down on him. And he started to press that hammer into his chest. And so Thanos is like, oh. Then he's like, you should have went for the head. And he snapped out on him and disappeared. And I don't know if you went to the movie to see it, but you could sense the confusion, the disappointment, the death in the atmosphere. It's like, and I'm low-key on the inside, like, that was freaking awesome. Yeah, Thanos. But people were walking out like, I was hearing conversations like, what happened? Why? And it was the same sense when Christ passed away. It was that death. I mean, Christ was unstoppable. And they were on a roll for 3 years straight. I mean, he was raising the dead. He was healing the sick. He had the most powerful teachings of any teacher in the history of mankind. And then it all stops after 3 years. There's a sense in which the life had been sucked out of that movie theater. And if you could put yourself here in this scene, being on the team of Jesus, the life had been sucked out of the disciples as well. And at this point, it was not a happy ending. It was not a happy ending. And death is not a happy ending, right? There are many things that bind us in terms of commonality in life. There, a lot of people on your row have gone through similar things as you. And if you doubt that, I'll say this, that we at least have two things in common. Everyone in this room and everyone in Overflow and everyone online. We at least have two things in common. Number one is we were born. Right. We were born. It's evidence of the fact that you're sitting in here. But number two, we know this factually, and we haven't experienced this yet, but each of us will. Number two is we will die. Right. That is a fact. We will die. And here's number three. And at a certain point, we all fear death at a certain level, be it the unknown of death. A lot of people think that we enter into nothingness and you just sleep forever. You just take a long nap for all eternity. Some people fear leaving their families behind. What will my family be like without me? As if we're the glue or the center of their lives. Many of us fear death at different levels. Right. So we need to lean into that question in the text where it says this, and it's such an encouraging question. The angels say, why are you looking around? Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?
Come on.
So today I want to deal with this question, okay? What happens after we die? If you're taking notes, go ahead and write that down. What happens after we die? We will die. And today I want to give us three major events after death. Three major events that occur after death. Number one, we depart this body. We depart this body. I mean, this is the reason. Someone say the reason.
The reason.
This is the main reason Jesus came.
Yes.
Everything else is secondary and tertiary. Everything else is an add-on. But the reason he was born was to address the issue of death. So the first thing is we depart this body. We depart this body. What do you mean, Pastor? I thought I am my body. Okay, well, let's clarify this. Number one, the Bible teaches that I am a soul. I have a spirit. For when the Lord was forming Adam, forming the body, the shell of Adam, he breathed the ruach, or the spirit, or the breath of life into him. And at that moment, Adam became a living soul. So Adam became a soul. I am a soul. I have a spirit, which is the source of my life. It's the thing that keeps you alive right now, is the spirit. And it means breath. When you stop breathing, you what?
Die.
And the sounds that your breath makes every time you breathe in and out is Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. Way. So every time we exhale and inhale, we're worshiping God.
That's right. That's good.
Even atheists worship God because they've been created in his image and they don't have a choice but to as they're breathing. So you are a spirit. And then number three, I live in a body. So you live in this body. You are not your body. You're handsome. You're beautiful. You're pretty. You're cute, especially today. But you live in the body. Okay. And so at death, the soul leaves the body. The soul leaves the body. And death is common. I need y'all to keep up with me today. Y'all okay?
Yes.
All right.
Good.
Death is common, but it's not natural.
Come on.
This is why someone that you love can pass away and 10 years have gone by and you're still sad about it, or you still miss them. Or you when you go to certain places, you see him in the passenger seat, or you see him in the back seat, or you see him sitting across from you at that restaurant, because it's not natural. We shouldn't long, we shouldn't miss. It's natural to have a healthy family. It's natural to thrive financially. It's natural to have peace and joy and abundance. All those things are natural because that's how God intended for it to be in the garden. But upon sinful disobedience, the curse became common, and the blessing of God became unnatural.
Yeah.
So when we're blessed, it don't feel right.
Come on.
And something must be wrong.
Wow.
Because things are going so right.
Wow.
And that's what happened in the garden. It turned things around. Someone say it turned things around. It turned things around. And so death is common, but it's not natural. And it's the number one problem for humans is death. So Christ came to solve that problem. So when we die, we depart this body. And Paul, once again, one of Christ's major tools, this amazing man of God, the Apostle Paul, he was teaching a Gentile church. So if you're not Jewish, he was teaching the church in Corinth about death because they had so many different opinions, just like today, about what happens after the soul leaves the body. But how many of us know that we can only base our truth from what God says?
Amen.
Right. That's where we find our truth and our hope. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes to address this. Here it is. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, I need y'all to catch context clues here. This earthly tent we what? Live in. Is taken down. That is when we die and leave. Someone say leave. Leave this earthly body. So Paul is telling you right now that you are not your body. You're just in it.
Come on.
And we're going to leave it. Here it is. We will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself, not by human hands. So there's a body. There's an existence in heaven that has all five senses, the soul, that is prepared for heaven, not made or as a result of human passion. Okay? It says this here. We grow weary. Isn't this true, y'all? We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing.
Yes.
Right? So all the success in the alcohol, in the sin, in the reaching, in the ambition, in the goals. Some of that stuff is good, some of it's not good. But all of that reaching is a result of us longing
wow.
to be in our heavenly bodies.
Jesus.
All right? Because once we're in our heavenly bodies, we won't want or need any of those things. Okay? We're going to skip down to verse 6. So we are always confident, Paul says, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. And that's what happens when you live by sight. You're constantly pulling yourself away from God's best. But when you live by faith, you're leaning towards the plan of God. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies. Someone say away.
Away.
For then we will be at home with the Lord. Amen. So when we die, we depart these bodies. And that's good news for the believer. Because as soon as we exhale that last breath, we instantly inhale our first breath in heaven. It's an instant transition. It's not a, you don't fall asleep. A lot of denominations have misinterpreted when Christ says that Lazarus, if you know the story in John, you got to go home and read it. This is your Easter homework. Go home and read John chapter 11. When Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, our friend Lazarus is asleep. The translation there is that Lazarus's body is asleep, but his soul is in heaven with my Father. So how was Christ able to raise Lazarus? He just asked the Father to send Lazarus back into his body. Ooh, that's too good. That's too good. So some denominations will say, well, we fall asleep until God raises us up and judges us. No, no. You instantly transition into heaven or into hell. But here's the good news for the believer. Number two is we meet Jesus in heaven. The second major event that happens after we die is we meet Jesus in heaven. This is the greatest news in the world. So here it is. When we die, thank you, Lord. When we die, we exit this season of our existence. Not of our life.
Come on.
Because our life is forever.
Jesus.
We exit this season of our existence.
Wow.
So if we were to leave this auditorium, we exit, we enter the lobby. We exit the lobby, we enter the foyer. We exit the foyer, we enter outside. We exit outside, we enter into our car. We exit our cars, we go wherever we're going. We're constantly in life exiting and entering. We never pass away. We're always exiting and entering. It's real good. It's vital. And so when I came to Christ, I was 19 years old. And as I was growing in the Word of God, reading the Bible, falling in love with Jesus,
yes.
Oh my God, it became very apparent to me that I need to get my family to Christ. Because
yes.
God forbid I only have 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years with them, when built within me is eternity. This is only 70 or 80 years.
Wow. Wow.
So if I only get that amount of time and I never get to see them again because they don't make this decision to make Christ their Lord, that's a sad reality.
That's right.
So the first person that was at the top of my list was my father. Oh, God, I fasted for that man for 9 years. And so before starting Highlight Church, we paid a visit in 2015. We moved up in May of 2016, but we came up in fall of 2015 with our parents. And on the way up, my dad started to talk about how proud of me he was. And he said, son, I've been watching you for the past 9 years, and I admire your faith. And I love how much you love God. It's made me fall in love with God. And he said, I wish I would have made this decision that you made when I was a young man. But I see God in you. And he said, son, when we get to Maryland, I'm giving my life to Jesus on this ride up. So we prayed right there, and I cried. He cried. And then he said, I want you to baptize me when we get to the hotel. My dad was 77 years old. And so I baptized him right here off of Shady Grove Road here at the Hilton Inn. And the picture should pop up right there. That's my dad. He was 77 years old. Y'all see my biceps, eh? Looking good. And that guy in the back, I don't know who that is. Got a little hair on his head. But it was a beautiful occasion. And we cried tears of joy. And it's never too late. It's never too late. You can be in your 90s and your 80s. It's never too late. God loves you that much. He's that patient. He's that patient. And so after that, his health started to deteriorate. He had heart disease. And this past Christmas, we had our Christmas services for Christmas Eve. We went home. I was chilling. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, call your dad. And I said, God, it's Christmas Eve. I'll call him later, you know. I'll call him on Christmas. A couple hours later, he said, call your father. I said, then now it was nighttime. We put the boys to bed, and I was locking all the doors. I set the alarm, and I'm like, after a long day, we had two or three Christmas services. We were setting up for Christmas. I sat down in front of our Christmas tree, just being grateful for all that God was doing in our life. You know, great year, just had the offering. We're going into a new year. 2024 is going to be a great year. Just sat down, and I was basking in gratitude. And the Lord said again, call your father. And I said, okay, I'll call him. And so I called him. And he was so weak. He was so weak. And he asked, how's the family? And I said, we're doing well. I said, how are you? He said, I'm okay, son. And he said, I just want to let you know I love you. And I'm tired. And so usually I'm the one ending the phone call. But for the first time ever, he ended the phone call. He said, son, I'm tired. And I love you. And I said, well, I love you too, Dad. Merry Christmas. I'll call you tomorrow. He said, all right, son, get you some rest. And it was like a 58-second call. And we got off the phone. And so between the next day and the 26th, he had cardiac arrest. And he passed away on the 26th. And so we went and did the funeral. Man, if you've ever lost someone that you love so much and you have to eulogize them, man, it's crazy. So a month later, because I took a month off from preaching from the pulpit, Chris and Chris, they did an amazing job preaching. On Vision Sunday, I was off for 4 weeks. The Saturday night before Vision Sunday, God is so loving. He's so kind. I had a dream, and we were in some area. It was a big area, but I was probably about 20 yards away from these two wide escalators, one going up, one coming down. And there are a lot of people entering these escalators. And I mean, it was the fullness of joy. It was perfect bliss. It was very peaceful. The weather was perfect. There was no sun, but there was the perfection of light. And Jesus, I recall, he said this in the Gospels. He said, I am the stairway. And he said, you will see, he told the disciples, you will see angels going up and down on me. I am the stairway. And so I'm about 20 yards away from the stairs, from the escalators. And this little girl says, hey, sir, come over here. Come upstairs. Come with me. And so I go over to the stairway and I take the escalator up. And in the vestibule, which I believe was, a holding area, right, that angels were coming in and out of heaven to minister down here on the earth. In the vestibule, God didn't allow me to enter into the building, which was the third heaven. Paul says, I've entered the third heaven. I don't know if it was in body or in soul, but I saw things and I heard things that I can't utter here on earth. Yes. It was amazing. But God stopped me in the vestibule. Chris was there and my friend Kevin was there. I greeted them. We were saying hello. We were talking and I could feel just like I'm feeling you all now. Just someone behind me grabbed me and gave me a bear hug and let me go. And I turned around and it was my dad. And he didn't look like that. He was slim. He was salt and pepper beard, head full of hair, and he was smiling. Yeah. And he was perfectly tailored, like his clothes were on point. Yeah. And I started to cry when I saw him, and I'm like, The only thing that could come out of my mouth was, "Dad, how are you?"
Yes.
And he smiled and he said, "Son, I'm well. I'm resting."
Yes. Amen.
And I was already crying in real life because I could feel the tears on my pillow, and the Lord allowed me to wake up. And I told my wife, I said, "Oh my God." Yeah. I said, "Babe, I just had the best dream ever." I said, God is so faithful. She said, "Babe, what happened?" I said, "God just allowed Dad to come back and visit me."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Babe, he's doing better than us." And so here's the major takeaway. When a believer dies, they transition to be with Jesus.
Amen.
And to experience the bliss, beauty, and perfection of heaven. It's instant. It's instant. Because when I saw him last, he was frail and he was weak. But when I saw him in heaven, he was fine. I can call my daddy fine. He was fine. But it's perfection. It's bliss. That's why Christ came, so that he would be with you forever. There's no hurt. There's no pain. There's no betrayal. There's no lying. There's no cheating. There's no murder. There's no war. It's all we're encapsulated by the love of God. It's beautiful.
Amen.
Jesus said this in John 14, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. This world is temporary. Yes. Trust in God and trust also in me." Yes. Here it is. I love this. "There is more than enough room in my Father's home.
Come on.
If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." So here's the deal. A person gives their life to Jesus. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You live out your purpose. And when God is ready to call you home, he calls you home.
Amen.
So right now, the reason you're not dead is because Jesus is not done preparing your place. And you still have a calling on your life. You still have a purpose on your life. That's the reason you're not done, because Christ still has on his tool belt. And he's building a place for you.
Amen.
In heaven.
Amen.
The third thing that happens when we pass away is we reign with Jesus forever. Wow. This is good news. Someone say good news.
Good news.
We reign with Jesus forever. It's so powerful. You know, the last time human eyes were laid on Christ, the physical Christ, this is historically documented, that Christ rose from the grave, and Christ had the ability to come through walls. The Bible says that the disciples were in a room, and Christ just appeared. And he told Thomas, he said, "It's me." He said, "Feel my hands. It's me. I'm resurrected. It's me." And the last time they saw the risen physical Christ, the Bible says that he was ascending on a cloud into heaven. And it also says that the same way that he left, he's going to come back. He's going to come back on a cloud.
Amen.
And he's going to return with believers. So if Christ were to come back today and you have a loved one who gave their hearts to Jesus, grandma, mom, you know, family member, friend, coworker, they're going to come back with Christ. And the Bible has an explanation for what's going to happen when they come back. Paul, who's teaching another Gentile church about what happens after death and about the resurrection of the dead, he taught them this here in 1 Thessalonians. Go ahead and pull it up on the screen for us. 1 Thessalonians says this. I'll read it from here. Verse 13, chapter 4. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died."
Yes, sir.
"We tell you this directly from the Lord." So Jesus himself gave Paul this revelation. "We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself," come on, come with me. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive will remain on the earth, and who remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Verse 18 in conclusion, here it is. So encourage each other with these words.
Amen.
Encourage each other with these words. Here's the most important question that you need to respond to in life. And the question is, am I saved? Am I saved? Have I accepted Christ in the finished work that he did for me on the cross? The work of shedding his blood so that my sins would be forgiven and so that I would have right standing with God. Am I saved? It's the most important question in this life. Right? Maybe when you walked in, you're going to walk out, you're going to see new series starting April 14th, God and Legacy, right? Family, faith, finances. I'm for all of that. But my Lord also said this. What good is it to gain the world and lose your soul? Let's get saved first. Let's put Christ in the center of our lives.
Amen.
And let's build wealth and health, family, relationships on him.
Good.
Let's build it on him. Are you saved? When you die, will you go to heaven? If you're a Christian and you feel backslidden and you don't know, you're confused, today is an opportunity to repent and to just come back home. You didn't lose your salvation. You just need the peace of mind to know that you and God are still okay.
Good.
And Christ handled that on the cross for you. Just come on back home. Get back into the things of God. Or here's another question. Will I rise and live with Jesus forever? Will I rise and live with Christ forever? That's the goal. That's it right there.
Yes, sir.
That's what matters.
Amen.
That's what matters is when he returns, I will rise. So whatever demon is or false idol is trying to block your heart.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Money won't last. Sex won't last. Drugs won't last. It's going to all be burnt. It won't even matter. What will matter is, will I rise and live with Jesus forever?
Amen.
And will my loved ones be there with me?
That's it.
Will my loved ones? Wow. And I also want to reveal this to you, that I don't want to be deep. I just want to encourage your heart that if you've lost a young loved one, a baby, a child, if you're regretful about an abortion, because when you come into the light, the Lord reveals those things to you. The Lord revealed to me that he takes those souls and he raises them in heaven. And you will meet your child fully healthy, fully grown. They would have been walking with the Lord, waiting to meet you. They're doing just okay.
Good.
And he loves you that much that when you enter into heaven, you'll meet him. He's that gracious. Will I rise and live forever with Jesus? It's this simple. Salvation is this simple. Jesus said this, John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. Not the geography, but the people of the world, right? Not the hills and the mountains, but us, right? He gave his one and only son so that everyone, someone say everyone,
everyone.
doesn't matter who you are, who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Salvation is that simple. Just open your heart today, because the resurrection of Jesus is all about happy endings. If you've been blessed today, can we put our hands together on this Easter? Thank you, Lord.